The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill, he is Ewan Cameron. This is episode 87. Hello Ewan, how are you? Good to be back in the same place as you after last
week. It's nice to be back on YouTube because last week we weren't on YouTube because you were in London.
Well, technical difficulties, we did try.
But you could have delayed your trip to London, recorded a show and then headed down to the big smoke, which is London City.
Yeah.
You had a nice time in London?
It was good, yeah. I enjoyed it. I was a little bit delicate on Wednesday.
You sound delicate in this just now.
I know, but I'm not. So I think it's just, I've had a busy weekend.
What did you do at the weekend? It was so busy.
I was doing the big Saturday football show, but on Friday night I was out because it was my mate's birthday. So
should we say happy birthday to him?
Happy birthday, kiddo. Happy birthday.
Well, I know kiddo.
Yeah, exactly.
I met kiddo. He's a fucking piss head.
Yeah. So we were out on Friday night, but I wasn't too bad. And then obviously big Saturday football show on Saturday. And then I was hosting the Kelty Hearts Player of the Year on Saturday night. And maybe the reason my voice is a wee bit hoarse is because I had to shout because the microphone wasn't working.
I've had that happen before.
No, it was...
Is it just dropping in and out?
Yeah, aye. So I was just like,
Screw it.
I'm just going to shout. So there was only 8 awards and then Jason Thompson retired. So there was a wee presentation for him. So yeah, good night. Chatting lads. Good lads.
I watched Eurovision on Saturday night. Did you watch any of it?
I watched absolutely none of it whatsoever.
Producer John, did you watch any Eurovision on Saturday night? Is that a no then?
Nah,
I don't. No, I did. I watched Eurovision on Saturday night, yeah.
It was brilliant, wasn't it, mate?
It was good. Who did you think should have won it?
Personally, the runner-up, Croatia. Rim-ba-ba-dam-ba-da-dam-ba-da-dam. That was a great tune.
Oh, that was good. I went, my little girl cast her vote and went for the Finnish entry, which was the one where the man had his bobby out on stage, as Andy Murray put it.
Oh, and, did he? He got his penis out, yeah.
Yeah, and he was like, right. It was that thing where, you know, in the Simpsons movie, when Bart's kind of skateboarding naked and his penis is covered up.
Yes.
And he did that whole thing throughout the Eurovision. Yes. Throughout the entry. It was brilliant.
So you didn't actually see any penis?
There was no bobby.
There was a bobby at the end of his performance, but somebody came up and covered it up.
Right, okay.
I think it was called Rude Boy or something like that.
I thought the winning song from Switzerland was actually a really good song, but I thought Croatia were unlucky not to win it. But I wasn't disappointed with the top two. It was a very good show. It was Eurovision at its very, very best. And the least said about, what's the boy's name who was in Years and Years?
Ollie Alexander.
His performance was very good. It was very clever. They were in a box and you'd have to watch it.
Aye.
I wasn't the biggest fan of his song, but the performance was very good. Okay. Can I just point out to people who are watching on YouTube, you will see on the desk in front of me, I have a Kylo Ren mask from The Force Awakens, from the recent Star Wars trilogy. I should put it on, shouldn't I? When I do my movie review for the weekend, I should put that on, should I not?
I mean,
I think I should actually. But the thing is, though, you don't want to give away the secrets and all that stuff. So I should go off camera and then put the mask on, then come back.
Right. So you're going to let's do your movie review and get it out of the way.
Okay. I'm going to put this on then.
Right. Okay. Well, you'll need to take your hat and your glass. No, you don't need to take your trousers off, Ewan. No, Ewan.
Here we go.
No, like put your trousers back up. Yeah, that's it. Trousers back up. Right. Okay. That's fine. And here's your.
I'm back. I'm here. Kylo Ren. Do you know Kylo Ren?
No.
No.
No, I don't.
Can I get my movie review music, please? No, I want my movie review music.
I'll tell you when it started because you don't have your headphones on.
No.
It's on now.
Okay. So my movie review from the weekend. I tell you what you could do, Producer John. I'll try and disguise my voice as Kylo Ren, but could you do some like sound effect thing for the edit?
Right, no, because that's too much work.
No. Just do the movie review.
No, I can't do Kylo Ren.
Just do it.
Has a normal
movie
voice.
Review this week is an absolute cracker of a movie.
Right.
It is called Late Night with the Devil. Have you seen it, Producer John?
I don't like horror movies.
Oh, man, you need to watch this. So
Late Night with the Devil.
It's just recently out. It was out earlier this year, and it's now available on Sky Movies. It's called Late Night with the Devil, and it's based on a 1970s talk show So this talk show host is up against the king of the talk shows, which is Johnny Carson. Mm-hmm. And he comes in a blaze of glory, but he can't quite get to number one ahead of Johnny Carson. Signs a big mega 5-year deal with this TV channel, but the ratings start to drop after year three, and they start to drop and they start to drop. So what he decides to do to try and get ratings back up, he decides to invite a 13-year-old girl onto his 1970s talk show, and the girl is possessed by a demon.
Right, okay. And right. Is this based on a true story?
It's kind of based on a true story, but what happens in the movie clearly didn't happen in real life.
Right, okay.
Because people's heads explode.
Right, okay.
But it's a phenomenal movie. It's one of my favourite horror movies of the decade, of the last 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
It's that good. It's called Late Night with the Devil. I highly recommend it. Get that watch. It's only an hour and 29 minutes. And if you're into things like The Exorcism or The Exorcism of Emily Rose, if you're into things like The Nun, then you're going to love this movie. It's based in the 1970s.
You're kind of dressed like a nun at the moment, actually.
That's Kylo Ren, mate. Don't be so...
It's a bit nun-like.
Anyway, so there you go. That's my recommendation.
Right,
and,
okay.
And Kylo Ren will now leave.
Right, I'll see you
and
later.
And I've got a question to ask you about possessions in a second.
Right, okay. Right, go in. Right, you're done.
Right, mask off.
Right, okay. Again, Ewan, you don't need to take your trousers down for this bit.
I don't do that.
All right, they're back up. Right, okay, that's fine.
Also, because it's a Star Wars special, because we missed it last week, because obviously we weren't on YouTube, because it was May the 4th last weekend, for the quiz, I'm doing questions on Star Wars and I'm dressing up as Baby Yoda.
So we're basically just letting Ewan pick his specialist subject in order for him to finally maybe win a quiz.
No, we're celebrating Star Wars weekend.
Well, I actually thought about this because it is a bit of a specialist subject for you, Ewan. So in the quiz today, I thought I would give questions about Dunfermline Athletic to Stephen, because I think that's only fair.
It's fair. It's fine.
They're really hard. Like, your Star Wars questions, I know you're a geek, Ewan. So your Star Wars questions
right,
are
fair
really
enough.
Hard. And Stephen's Dunfermline questions are very hard.
Okay, well, I'm dressing up as Baby Yoda. What are you doing for Dunfermline?
I'm just being myself, because I am a Dunfermline fan.
So that's coming up later on in the quiz.
You wanted to ask me something about...
Yes, I want to ask you something. And I'd written it down... And I don't know how you spell the word Ouija. How do you spell the word Ouija for Ouija board?
Is it not like O-U-I-J-J-E or something?
Right, just to remind myself of what I want you to talk about, how did I write it down?
Ouija, as in, yeah.
W-E-G-I-E,
yeah, Ouija.
Ouija board. So, talk about Late Night with the Devil. Brilliant movie. I cannot recommend it enough. It was about possessions and demons and all that kind of stuff. Have you ever played with a Ouija board?
No.
I have.
Right.
Many, many years ago, and I'll never do it again, because we did summon something that we didn't want in the house, because I am pretty sure that my pal Paul Brown was levitated off the floor. So we did the Ouija board, and I was at his ankles, and I had put my fingers on his ankle, and then a girl called Karen was at his other foot and put her fingers on his ankle. And then my pal Phil and his girlfriend Natalie were at his shoulder. So we're kneeling down. He's lying on the floor. Just, you visualising it? We've got the candles lit. It's pitch dark. And is there anybody there? And I don't want to say too much in case I bring a demon into the studio. We don't want that.
No.
Because Super Scoreboard comes to this studio as well.
Exactly, yeah.
So...
Lots of jokes I could make just now, but don't bother.
No.
Yeah.
So it was dark, candles were lit, Paul was lying on the floor, shoulder, ankle, and we tried to levitate him with the help of a spirit that we'd already called into the house, hadn't played the Ouija board just previously.
Right.
So we'd released the spirit into the house, into the room. And the reason we know there was a spirit there, because the spirit spoke to us.
Aye.
And the spirit's name was Jackie.
Jackie the spirit, right.
Why? You're...
No, yeah.
You're getting ripped the piss here, aren't you? So Jackie was released.
Jackie.
Into the room.
Jackie. It was Jackie. Jackie was released into the room. Okay.
And the thing was about Jackie.
Jackie.
None of us had a Jackie in our lives.
No.
So we didn't know who Jackie
was.
We know
Jackie now.
Yeah, but yeah. Jackie appeared.
Right.
And then we... try to see if we could do the levitation thing. and he floated off the floor.
He floated off the floor. Right. And how high are we talking?
I had was my fingers on his ankle.
How high was he floating off?
Oh, a good few inches.
Right.
And I was shit scared after that. I didn't go back into the house again because it was in Cadden's house.
Did you hear for Jackie again, or is she back?
I just think she's in that house.
Right.
Because we released her, and that means she's stuck in the house.
Right, well, we can go one day.
No, it's not here.
Well, where is it?
It was in Dubai.
Well, even better, we can go there. That's fine. I'll take a flight out to Dubai.
My advice to you is never play with the occult.
Okay.
Because you just never know what you're going to be releasing into your house or into somebody else's house, and it's quite scary.
Cool.
Never done it?
No.
Would you like to do it?
No.
Producer John, you ever done it?
No.
Well, he says no as well.
John's with Falkirk. They still believe in that stuff. So,
he walks amongst them.
Exactly. With all their pagan rituals.
Round the Kelpies.
Exactly.
The wicker man up at the Kelpies. Burning people in the Kelpies.
Dancing in fires, bollock naked, yeah. Right. Thanks for all your correspondence and a couple of nice reviews this week, actually.
Well, thank you.
Berk says, listening from Thailand, thanks to you all for keeping my sanity over the next 2 weeks. Hopefully it will boost the streaming numbers from here. Need to change the quiz up a bit. Miss Ewing losing the plot. You didn't really lose the plot last week,
did
you?
Nah, a wee bit. Berk, did you say?
Berk. As in Bert, but with a K.
Berk?
Berk. Yeah.
I've never heard that name before.
Anthony says, best show around.
It is.
You guys are the best. We are always entertaining. My Canadian friends ask me, why football fans... why do they need to be segregated? NFL, NHL, NBA, MLB, MLS fans don't. Any ideas? Yes, I've got lots of ideas.
The reason that Dunfermline Falkirk fans are segregated is because the Falkirk fans are demonic, as we've just learned.
With their pagan rituals.
Pagan rituals and that stuff. And the Dunfermline fans don't want to be possessed by that.
I wish I could give you a funny answer for this like that, but I don't have one. It's just sort of like historical that football fans went through quite a long period of fighting with each other. So.
The MLS, they're all integrated as well. They're all drinking beers and eating hot dogs.
Americans. Different.
It's not proper sport if you're integrated, is it? It's really not.
I think
you do not respect the MLS.
Nah.
I watch the MLS. I think it's not a bad.
By the way, Lewis Morgan is doing very well.
So he scored at the weekend again.
He scored 9-12 or something.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't think that's not a reflection on the actual, you know, standard of the league. It's probably quite good.
You think the fans are rubbish?
No, I don't think the fans are rubbish. They're just American.
Hold on. There's nothing wrong with the fans. They're just American.
No, but they're
what does that mean?
They're just different from us. I'll give you an example, right? So I was in New York a couple of years ago, and we went to a Stranger Things immersive experience.
Right.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And a big fan of the show, think it's great. Right. Love Stranger Things.
I've not watched it.
It's very good. It'd be right up your street as well. And I know that when somebody says that to you, you're less likely to watch it. Mm-hmm. Like, certainly with me. But I do think you would enjoy it. Anyway, it was sort of like one of these, there was loads of actors and you were supposed to be in a lab and then something goes wrong and there's like blood getting splattered up the walls and stuff like that, and there's me, my wife and my mate, the three of us, and the rest of the room are all Americans, right? And some of it is for part of this, it's like audience participation. Mm-hmm. And they were like, does anyone want to become a team leader? We need four team leaders. And then all these Americans are like, woo, can't be here, bro. Yeah. And we're obviously like, well, don't fucking look at me. I want nothing to do with this. I'm happy just to stand back and watch everything, right? And there's a bit in it where they're like, oh, you need to use your mind power. Part of it was a bit crap, but some of it was quite cool as well. This bit was like, right, we all need to use our mind power to open this door, right? And they're like, right, team leader one, how are you going to use your mind power? And the guy's like, no, 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 like that. And we're all like, fucking hell, all these people are absolute fucking losers.
All
right?
Americans.
Oh, no, but they loved it. Like, they just immerse themselves in that.
Yeah.
Like, they have no inhibitions when it comes to stuff
correct.
Like that.
They're very outlandish and outrageous and very loud.
And obviously, we were just kind of standing at the back. At one point, somebody turns around and like, you need to use your mind power, bro, like that. And I'm like, no, fuck off, mate. Like, just go the other way. Americans are just different. They're wired different. And I've spent quite a lot of time in the States, and they're just a different type of people. And that's fine.
But they're not football fans. Is that what you're saying?
They just... I just cringe whenever I see, like, when John was singing, like, it's always like, Falcons, let's go! Like, all... I hate all of that. I hate stuff like
that. Pom-poms?
No.
Pom-poms and all just that stuff. Not. Cheerleaders and everything.
They do a lot of things really well. Like, for example, last time I was in the States, I was in Atlanta. And there was the women's US soccer team.
Uh-huh. They're good.
Their home stadium, effectively now, is going to be the Mercedes-Benz Arena in Atlanta, which is a stunning, stunning stadium.
That's
right?
The stadium I use in FIFA. Yeah. It's an outstanding stadium in FIFA. I'll play that if anyone wants to play against
me. I think
me.
It's hosting one of the semi-finals in the World Cup in 2026.
Is it? Okay.
So anyway, it's honestly, it's one of the most impressive stadiums I've ever seen in my life. But the US women's team were playing that day in like the She Believes Cup or something. And they had a massive fan zone in the Olympic Park in Atlanta. And they had everything. Like
they are good at that.
It was mobbed. Mm. And you, what was interesting to see as well is all the sort of big companies that were there, like Coca-Cola were there. Obviously, they're based in Atlanta, but Coca-Cola, like Chase, the bank and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Adidas were there. Like, it was just every single big company that you can think of.
So it was a day out before you even go into the stadium.
100%. Yeah. And they had loads of stuff for the kids and all the rest of it. And that's all great. But I just find the American fan...
Is it quite fake?
Just not really.
Is it fake?
I don't think fake's the right word. Just probably not authentic. I remember going into a bar once.
A polite way of saying it's fake.
I remember going into a bar once, and the guy beside us just started talking to us. And there was football on, and he was like, oh, who's your team? And I'm like, oh, you've probably not heard of them, Dunfermline. And he was like, ah, yeah. He was like, I'm a Spurs fan. And I was like, all right, cool. I was like, so are you been across to like London or like what made you choose Spurs? He was like, well, it was between Spurs and Liverpool and I just went for Spurs. And I was like, that's not
no the reason.
No reason given. Just go with Spurs. And I just don't, and that's not their fault because they haven't had football around for as long as what
true.
We have.
But the setup is very good, the games are very good, and the fans turn out in a huge number. They do sell out
absolutely.
A lot of the games, so fair play to the Americans. It is growing, and I think there will come a day where the United States national team will win the World Cup.
Yeah, probably. But I just...
Long before... I mean, they'll win it before we'll ever win it.
Yeah. I mean, well...
I think they'll win it even before England will win it, because I don't see England winning the World Cup anytime soon.
Well, we'll see. Anyway, that's my long answer to your question, Anthony. Dad says, can you put Ewan in the bin and replace him on the show with Jose? As Jose doesn't like or watch football, he'll have just as much knowledge as Ewan. You could check in on the Rice Ruiner each week, though. Win-win all round.
The Rice Ruiner each week.
Yeah.
I've improved with my rice cooking. I've actually started frying my rice. So what I do is I make the rice... And then I, in a wok, I put some sesame oil in the wok, heat that up really hot, then throw in the rice, and then I put some red onion in there, I put some red chili in there, and then I get some teriyaki, a wee bit of teriyaki soya sauce, put that in there as well, with a couple of cloves of garlic, give it a right good stir, do the thing with the wok, when you do that... And then it flips up and it flips up and it flips up. And then at the end, I add some spring onion and then I serve it with some chicken teriyaki.
You know, that's incredible because what you've described there is something called fried rice.
That's what I did.
Yeah, which is quite a popular dish.
So that's why I get away from making pish rice because I then fry it up.
Right, okay, fair enough. On the quiz last week, RJ Demon, quiz was fixed more than usual.
Thanks, mate.
Random question. Stephen, I know that because I was reading about it this week. Not sure why I was reading about it. Stephen just happens to be reading about every question before being asked.
It's not true. You said that.
He's getting the answers beforehand.
The boy is bang on the Monday. There has been so many situations.
I read a lot.
There's been so many situations where you went,
I'm well read.
Weirdly, I was reading about that the other day.
There is a bit of the Slumdog Millionaire going on about Stephen, isn't
there? What was the question last week?
It was the Ballon d'Or one that you...
Yes.
Right. But I was reading about it. Like, I genuinely was reading about that.
You can't deny that you do, on a regular occasion, say,
I'm well read.
I was reading about that. Oh, funnily enough, I was watching that on YouTube.
But for everyone thinks that I'm cheating and giving Stephen the answers, I'm a Falkirk supporter. Stephen is a Dunfermline supporter.
Exactly.
As if I'm going to help him.
As a lot of people have suggested on social media, the reason you do it, John, and you're in cahoots with a prick beside me is because you think it's funny seeing me lose.
Well, there is that.
Exactly.
I honestly do not give Stephen the answers. He's a well-read football man who has a bit of football knowledge. And, you know, it pains me to say that as a Falkirk supporter, but the man does know a lot of stuff about football.
John's right.
Right, move on.
Okay, a couple of stories from the week before we get into the football from the weekend. Not looking good for Aaron Hickey for the Euros.
No.
Thomas Frank has pretty much ruled him out in a press conference.
Yeah, it's done.
Who are we playing at right back?
James Forrest. If we're doing the wing-back thing, if we're doing the 3-5-2...
I think we could probably do a lot worse than playing James Forrest at wing-back.
But who else can play there?
Ryan Fraser can play there, but he's
way,
not been...
I watched him for West Brom the other day. He was actually not bad. He played wing-back.
Southampton
against West Brom.
Against West Brom, yeah.
And he played really well.
I don't know what's happened there, because there's no real reason why Ryan Fraser wouldn't be in the squad, because he's still been playing at a fairly decent level, but he's been nowhere near it. So I don't know if there's something happened there or Ryan Fraser...
Fallout.
I've got no idea. I genuinely have no idea.
He played wing back at the weekend for Southampton. They drew 0-0.
I think Fraser or Forrest probably are in the hot seat. Outside contenders.
Nicky Devlin
from Aberdeen. He could be this year's Stephen O'Donnell.
Yeah.
I think Nicky Devlin is solid. I think he's a decent fullback.
Is he a wing back?
When they played in Europe, Aberdeen this season, and picked up a couple of good results. I always thought Devlin had a really good
game. Scored a good goal as well.
Aye. So I don't know.
The thing with Devlin for me is...
Cadden from Hibs?
Nah. He had an absolute nightmare yesterday.
Okay.
I think Devlin is in with a shout, and I think that he's a better defender than Forrest, but I'm not so sure that he's the same threat going forward as Forrest. It's a balancing act, whereas I think Forrest defensively could be a problem, especially up against Wirtz of Bayer Leverkusen, who plays on that side.
Yeah, Werner and Gnabry are out for Germany,
I know,
it looks like.
And so, nothing against the lads, because they're good players, but I was like, yeah, that's...
I know. So at least they've got a few injury worries as well. Good to see McTominay was playing for Man United yesterday.
He wasn't very good.
Tierney is back in. What is happening?
Somebody's at my ring doorbell. Oh.
Who is it?
Some guy.
All right.
If he gets let into my house, I'll be leaving.
Right, so is Teresa in the house at this moment in time?
Yeah.
And there's a guy turned up at the door?
Yeah, just in a T-shirt and...
Is he a good-looking guy, or...?
If he goes into my house...
So what's happening?
Oh, no, he's got a parcel, it's fine.
Right,
he's got a parcel. It was under his arm. It was on the other side. That's fine.
Aye, they often dress up like that to sort of get around it.
Oh, anyway, are you saying he's in disguise pretending to drop a parcel off?
Aye, I've seen those films before. The Scottish Football Writers nominations are out. Player of the Year, Jack Butland, Bojan Miovski, Matt O'Reilly and Lauren Shankland. Ian Cameron.
For the Football Writers?
Yep.
Well, Shankland scored, well, we'll get to it, but Shankland scored his 30th goal of the season at the weekend in that 3-0 win against Dundee. Oh,
that's him back. He's obviously forgotten to take his shoes.
Turning that off.
He's forgotten his trousers.
He was quick.
Well, at least Teresa's used to that, so... right.
Aye, very good.
Butland, Miosky, O'Reilly, Shankland. Shankland obviously won the PFA Player of the Year a couple of weeks ago. Scored again at the weekend. Matt O'Reilly, obviously, cracking game at the weekend. Won Celtic's Player of the Year as well last night. Miosky, obviously, again, cracking season he's had. And Butland kept Rangers in the game on Saturday.
I mean, I think from a football writer's perspective... I've got a funny feeling they might go with O'Reilly, because O'Reilly had a fantastic start to the season.
Tailed off
in January with all that rumour and speculation surrounding him, and he's come back brilliantly. I mean, he's been superb. I still think Shanklin will probably get it, but I think O'Reilly will be very close. I think it's between O'Reilly and Shanklin. Again, personally, I think Shanklin should get the award because 30 goals outside the Old Firm. I mean, it's a phenomenal record. I know Miofsky's got 27, 28 goals.
Something like that.
I mean, again, fair play to the lad and rightly on the shortlist.
Manager of the Year, Philippe Clement.
Nah.
Tony Docherty.
Nah.
Derek McInnes.
Yeah.
John McGlynn.
Nah.
Okay. Clement, obviously, on that list. Wasn't on the PFA list.
Nah.
When Philippe Clement took over as Rangers manager, they were 7 points behind. They're now 6 points behind. Correct. They have won the League Cup.
They have won the League Cup. If they'd gone on to win the treble, which they were in with a chance of doing just, what, 3-4 weeks ago. I mean, they had it...
Well, on Saturday.
They had
they won on Saturday, they would have had a really good chance of winning the treble.
Well, yeah, there's that as well. But three, four weeks ago, the destiny was in their hands.
We've covered Tony Docherty at length, Derek McInnes and John McGlynn, so we're not going over that again. A young player of the year, Connor Barron, Lyle Cameron, Lennon Miller, David Watson. David Watson won the PFA Young Player of the Year.
I have raved about Cameron on this show. When Dundee were promoted to the Premiership last year, I talked about Cameron and what a really good player he is. And the rumour was that Hearts were looking at him.
Yep.
He then went and signed a new deal with Dundee before going into the Premiership. And I'm still hearing rumours.
Do you know what somebody told me at the weekend?
That Hearts are very keen on the young lad Cameron.
So Connor Barron is out of contract.
Is he not going to Rangers?
Well, somebody told me that Connor Barron is learning Italian on Duolingo. So, read into that what you will.
Is that true?
Somebody told me that Connor Barron is learning Italian on Duolingo.
Is Lewis Ferguson?
Well, Lewis Ferguson, obviously, Bologna into the Champions League. I saw it confirmed into the Champions League last night because Roma lost. So, I don't know. Connor Barron, I think it'd be great. I think it'd be a brilliant move for Connor Barron.
If he moved
to Italy or any foreign country, I love to see Scottish players going abroad.
100%. If I am Connor Barron's representatives, and I think Rangers are definitely sniffing about, nothing against Rangers, nothing against Celtic, nothing against the Scottish Premiership, but if I'm Connor Barron, you look at Josh Doig, you look at Lewis Ferguson, you look at the players that went down south, go and improve your football, another culture. It's going to make you a better person. It's going to make you a better player because it's a different style of football.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Italy if you get the opportunity to do that. And it would appear as though there's a chance, from what you're telling me.
If the rumour is true that he's learning Italian on Duolingo, then...
How would you find that out?
I think you can sort of...
Like, you have to put in your details and stuff.
I think, like, for example, like, if you and I had Duolingo... Right, and we were both learning a language or whatever, it might pop up, say, oh, you and Cameron's on a contact you know or something like that. So,
okay.
Premiership, let's get on and we'll start the game. At lunchtime on Saturday, finished Celtic 2, Rangers 1. Celtic all but clinching the title.
It's done.
Yeah, no, it is done, but that's what I'm just saying, like, technically it's not done, but it is done. O'Reilly and Lundstrom on goal, obviously. Lundstrom getting sent off, we'll get to that in VRWTF in just a wee second. Dessers pulling one back for Rangers when the score was 2-0. 16 goals, 17 assists for O'Reilly this season. You look at that Rangers midfield... 2-32 for Lawrence, 2-52 for Lundstrom, 1-34 for Sterling. O'Reilly has better stats than all of them combined.
Yeah.
But, you know, without getting too much into the sending off, because we will get to that in a second, that obviously ended it as a contest. And on another day, had it not been for Jack Butland, it would have been...
Even before Lundstrom gets sent off, the game could have been out of sight, but Jack Butland keeps him in it. And I think Jack Butland will be sold in the summer because I think Forrest still want him. They'll get 15, 20 million for him easy.
Why did Rangers start so poorly? Like, for the first 20, 25 minutes, I mean, you're totally right. Celtic just dominated.
Battered them. Silva had a good chance, though. That header.
He did, back post.
I don't know why he doesn't hit that back across goal. That header. Silva, 40 million signing to Wolves. I wouldn't give you 40 quid.
Rangers have only won at Parkhead, I believe, producer John, you can maybe check this, since the year 2000, six times.
That it?
And think how many matches.
was a good few years where Rangers weren't there, right enough. But four. What I would say about the game on Saturday, and I know you have your issues about Todd Cantwell, and I understand your point in regards to the big games and the games that matter. Mm-hmm. But Todd Cantwell in that Rangers team, and I think his numbers are up there with O'Reilly, if not better. Again, you might have to check this one for me, mate. But I think Todd Cantwell, in regards to assists and goals, is up there as one of the best in the Scottish Premiership. And if that is true, that he's up there for assists and goals this season for Rangers.
He's got 5 goals and 4 assists.
Is that it? So maybe I was reading about O'Reilly then.
Yeah, you must have been.
Must have been reading about O'Reilly, because I knew there was some midfielder and I thought it was Cantwell. But my point about Cantwell is this, is that when you need a goal and you need to get your creative players on the pitch, I thought he got his team wrong at the weekend when you need to win the game.
But even after that, you know, albeit Rangers were down to 10 men, like, Cantwell stayed on the bench. So I think that tells you everything that Clement thinks of Cantwell.
Well, again, when you're down to 10, would you count on Cantwell? Probably not.
No, but you need to go for it. Like, it doesn't matter.
I think when Rangers went down to 10 and it was 2-1 at half time, they sat in a low block. And I think what they were hoping to do is either get a set piece at some point or have a breakaway goal, get it to 2-2, and then go for it against Dundee on Tuesday night, try and pile on the goals to make up the goal difference, and then it goes down to the final day. That was our only hope, was to get that draw and hopefully take it down to the last day of the season. I think that's the only way to go about it. I thought Rangers huffed and they puffed, but did Joe Hart actually make a save? I can't even think of a save that he made.
I thought Joe Hart had a nightmare for the Rangers goal.
He could have come out.
Like when the ball gets headed back across and he's stuck on his line. I was like, that was 2 yards out.
I think Joe Hart didn't have much to do. I think Clement, over the piece, has done a really good job at Rangers. I mean, he was dealt a shite hand when he first walked through that door. The place was an absolute mess. But I've always stuck with Celtic to win the league. I have never wavered from that. Just because I've always said it, that Celtic got a better midfield, they've got better attackers. I think Carter Vickers is easily the best centre-back in Scottish football. He's outstanding. And with Joe Hart, he can be calamitous at times, but he's still solid enough for the Scottish Premiership. So for me, Celtic were always going to win that league. So fair play to Rangers for keeping in it for as long as they did. It would have been nice, from a neutral's point of view, if it went down the final day of the season and it was like
a grandstand finish
and all guns blazing because they all need to score goals and da-da-da-da-da. So it's a shame that it's not got to that point, but Celtic deserved it. I don't think Celtic have been great this season. I think everyone would admit that. They've come good in the last few weeks, don't get me wrong. Been really good.
Form over the last, when it's mattered.
Really good.
And I think that's probably a key point. Also saw something last night as well. Even if Rangers had beaten Ross County
and Dundee,
they still wouldn't be top of the league.
No.
I think that's testament to Celtic's consistency.
But remember what we said before those two games, when we were looking at the fixtures, everyone looked at that Kilmarnock game on the Wednesday night at mm-hmm. Rugby Park, where Celtic have slipped up a couple of times.
Totally, yeah.
And that's where Rangers were counting on, putting the pressure on. Because let's just say they were even Stevens just now. Mm-hmm. Rangers play Dundee tomorrow at Ibrox. They'd have won that. They'd be 3 clear then, going at the Celtic game against Kilmarnock. And then all the pressure's on them. Listen, it's all ifs, buts and maybes. Totally. Celtic were outstanding at the weekend. I thought they were a bit nervy in the second half, in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, they made
so
heavy weather of it the last 20
they
minutes,
did,
I thought.
They did. And I thought at some point, listen, Celtic have missed so many chances here. Is it written in the stars that Rangers get a late equaliser here?
Nick something right
Nick
end,
something yeah. at the end, but it wasn't meant to be. So congratulations to Celtic in winning the league.
Yeah, Rangers, first time they haven't beaten Celtic in a league season since 17-18.
Oh, wow. What was the scores in all the four games? What was it? I can't remember. Do you remember what was the record in that? Is it 2 draws?
I think
2 wins for Celtic.
I think 2 draws and 2 wins. I think they did. No, Celtic won the first game at Ibrox.
Yes.
Yeah, it's 3 wins for Celtic.
Three wins and a draw.
And then obviously the last one a few weeks ago was just a draw. So, right. Let's focus on Celtic just for a wee bit. They've won the league. They've been the best team in the league, absolutely. They've had a few outstanding performers. I thought McGregor played really well again at the weekend, which was good.
Good to see him back to form.
For a Scotland point of view. Where do they need to improve next season? How much money does Brendan Rodgers need? How much money will Brendan Rodgers get to improve that squad?
Celtic announced, was it earlier this year? Was it late last year? They've got £72 million burning a hole in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting £60 million minimum from the Champions League new format. So they've got money to spend. And if they were to make a couple of key signings for certain positions within that team, I don't think they'll make any impact in the Champions League, but they'll drop into the Europa League, and that's where I think they could do something.
There's no dropping into the Europa League.
There is.
I don't think there is.
No, there is in that bottom half, for those bottom half teams or something for them to play for. So there's 32 teams in that Inter, and I think the bottom half teams, after your 6-8 games it is, there is a Europa League drop-off. John, do you want to check that for me? I might be talking shite again.
I think you're talking shite.
I think I might be right here, and I wish this was in the quiz, because I'd be winning a point
here. I think you are talking rubbish. So what are you saying, Ewan?
I'm saying that in the Champions League, there is still a way for you to drop into the Europa League.
I don't think there is. Because
from next, well, look, well, don't you... don't?
No, because I'm explaining my reasoning.
No, but, you don't know. You don't know, fuck all. You know nothing.
Well, I'll
Google it.
I think
I'm right. I think there is an avenue for you to drop into the Europa League from this new Champions League format. I think it breaks down into three tiers within the Champions League group stage.
Mm-hmm.
There's three different tiers. There's the bottom tier, the middle tier, and the top tier of clubs. And I'm pretty sure that if you finish in the bottom tier of clubs, and depending on what position you are in the bottom tier, you drop into the Europa League.
I don't think that is the correct. I genuinely don't think, because the Europa League and Europa Conference have the same format.
No, but Hearts can drop into the Europa Conference League.
That's qualifying. That's different. That's just in the qualifying.
Right.
So if Hearts don't qualify for the Europa League...
Right, so if Hearts get into the Europa League, is there's a chance that we might. Mm-hmm. We might get into the Europa League because of Atalanta win the Conference League and Borussia Dortmund beat Real Madrid.
So you might get straight in.
We'll get straight into the Europa League. If we finish third, do we not drop into the Conference League after that?
No, because it's the same format as the Champions League.
Reading this, unlike in previous season, there is no drop down of teams from the Champions League to the Europa League after the league phase. Once eliminated, your European season is over.
Well, that's shit.
But there's more games.
But that shit, because Celtic will never make an impact in Europe.
There's more games in the
it's 8 games. It gets 2 extra games.
But the groups phase doesn't finish until the end of January.
That's irrelevant. Listen,
no, it's not irrelevant.
I'll tell you why this is absolute. I hate this now, because I was convinced that they'd drop into the Europa League. Nothing against Celtic or even Rangers for that matter. If they get into the Champions League, you're there to make up the numbers. And I think that Celtic and Rangers, as Rangers have proved, you can be competitive in the lower European competitions. And the fact that Celtic are going to go in there making up the numbers and possibly get battered week after week in the Champions League against that opposition, but that's not fun for the fans. No, that's not fun for us watching the Scottish football fans.
The way it works as well is you'll be playing another pot four team. Like, you will play, like, Celtic will play against another team ranked.
Yeah, if you look at Celtic's recent record in
Europe.
Against those sorts of teams. My point is this, is that dropping into the Europa League gave you a second bite at the cherry to have a decent run, which Rangers have taken advantage of.
Yeah, but that's not happening.
I know, but that's why it's shit, because then
can we just clarify who was right and who was wrong there?
Yeah, you and John.
Yeah, thank you.
But that's annoyed me now.
Right, okay.
Because that means it's Scottish. Right, that means that the champions of our country, Celtic, are going to get battered here, there and everywhere across Europe and not have an opportunity to be competitive. When what's his name, Brendan Rodgers, walked through the door last summer, he goes, I'm here because I want to make an impact in Europe. Now, I'll tell you this, they will make an impact in Europe if Celtic invest and they give him a treasure trove of cash to bring in quality. Then, this is a different debate. Then they might be able to do something in the Champions League.
That was the original question. Will he get the money?
Well, now that you've told me there's no drop-in to the Europa League, if they want to be competitive in the Champions League, they're going to have to invest big money to bring quality in.
Now, we had this conversation when Celtic were in the Champions League earlier on this season. And obviously there was a lot of fans who were really unhappy with some of the performances. And, you know, again...
Why are they not spending money?
Now, at this point in time, Celtic have just won the league. They've got a Scottish Cup final to look forward to as well against Rangers. Say they win that, they've won the double.
Mm-hmm.
and then they've got the glow of that over the summer.
Yeah.
That'll soon not be a glow when Celtic yet again don't back their manager and spend the money that's needed to improve their squad to a level that they can be competitive in the Champions League.
Stephen,
because I'm telling you right now.
Is Brendan Rodgers going to accept that? He said it's going to come back to bite him on the ass, big style. He said, I want us to be competitive in Europe. And if he's not given the tools to be competitive in a new format of the Champions League, he's not going to be a happy bunny. The fans are not going to be happy.
But that happens all the time. That's happened every single year with Celtic. Every single year with Celtic.
I think it's different this year.
Why?
Because they've got £72 million in the bank. They've got £60 million coming their way because of qualifying for the Champions League. If they're not seen to be investing and backing their manager to make an impact in Europe, they're going to have outrage in the stands.
But they've had outrage in the stands before, and then at the end of the season when they win the league, it's all forgotten about.
Well, they need to sustain that. They need to sustain those complaints. They need to sustain the pressure on the board because Brendan Rodgers needs backed. And if he gets backed, with the basis of the team he's got right now, and if he gets backed to invest in players in certain key positions, they will be a threat in the Champions League. I'm not saying a threat in regards to Real Madrid and Liverpool, etc., but they'll be competitive. And that's all you want. And the only way to be competitive is you have to spend some money.
And you think that...
They have to.
You think the Celtic board are going to break a habit of a lifetime...
I think they will.
...and spend loads of money this summer.
I think they'll spend money this summer. Look, in the past, they spent £9 million on Edouard from PSG. Did they not?
Yeah, but then they knew that they were going to sell him for a lot of money afterwards.
That's irrelevant. They still got a good couple of seasons out of Edouard. They got Dembele as well.
Yep.
They
cost Jota, like 500 grand.
Jota, they spent £7 million for. So they do spend the money.
25.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. But they still spend.
And again, these are two or three players over the course of 6 years. Like, what Celtic need to be competitive in the Champions League?
It's Jota, Dembele, and.
You need all of them in the squad at the same time.
Yes, yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean?
I get that.
They're going to need a new goalkeeper next season. I'm still not convinced with the defence. Probably need a couple of players in there. Could have been doing with a new midfielder, I think, as well.
Yeah.
They definitely need a striker. Ida is not the answer.
No.
But
the money's there, Stephen.
You're talking five or six players.
But Stephen, the money's there. They bought Matt O'Reilly from, I think it was MK Dons, for £1.5 million. So you don't need to spend big money as long as you've got a good scouting network.
For every Matt O'Reilly, there's been a nine wingers
sitting on the bench.
Exactly. Yeah.
Tellio, who's now went back to Australia.
Precisely. Like, you know.
Can I read this out? I thought this is really, really interesting. This is one for maybe you and the Super Scoreboard guys, John, if you're listening. Celtic have the chance to consign not one, not two, but four Rangers records to the history books. If Celtic win the Scottish Cup, they will overtake Rangers' jointly held European record of domestic cup wins. It's currently sitting at 62 each between Celtic and Rangers. So if Celtic win it, they go ahead of Rangers. Most league and cup doubles currently sitting at 12-12. So Celtic win the cup, they'll get 13 league and cup doubles to Rangers 12. They will also go equal on Old Firm derby wins, currently sitting in Rangers' favour, 169-168. So if they beat Rangers in the cup final, it goes...
169-169.
Correct. And the biggest of them all Rangers' long-held European record as most decorated club is currently 118 versus 116 in Rangers' favour, but it will be 118-117 once the league is confirmed. Add to that, next year, they will have the chance to equal the record of league title wins, currently 55-53, but it will be 54 at the end of the season. They can go 55-55 next season. So there's so many records there up for grabs for Celtic to overtake Rangers.
See all that?
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. None of that matters.
It does for Celtic. They want to be the most recognised, most decorated football club in world football.
Well, that tells you everything about the priorities then, because if I were a Celtic fan or if I was a Rangers fan, I wouldn't care about any of that. I would care about my team doing well in Europe and doing what Borussia Dortmund are doing, i.e. getting to a Champions League final.
Or Olympiakos
getting to a final.
Yeah.
Atalanta getting to a final.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So see all that? That's shite. And it doesn't... That's just all fluff.
That's exactly
what I'm talking about, because all that stuff doesn't actually matter. That's just a number.
that fans can wind up their other fans about.
Precisely.
But what really matters is...
it's actually having
doing
a good
something.
Team, doing yeah. something meaningful.
And not just in your own... and not just in your own little goldfish bowl, which
precisely.
Is the west of Scotland.
Because there's nobody else in the world,
cares about
else
that.
Talking about that. But if Celtic got to a Europa League final or a Champions League final, like Rangers did a couple of years ago,
yeah, I agree with you.
Then they're talking about that. They're not giving a toss about how many Scottish Cups they've won.
No.
Like, it's just, that's the issue.
That's the issue. Is it that blinkered mindset?
Precisely. And listen, I don't think that'll ever change. And that and the Celtic board know that as well, who run a really successful business. Let's not like take away from that.
Unreal.
But they know that for some reason people care about that more than actually being competitive in the Champions League.
No, I agree. I actually agree. That's quite sad, then.
So Celtic could get battered about the pitch in the Champions League.
They're not
next season.
At that point. But they'll soon forget it because they want to beat Rangers.
Because they'll equal 55 titles next season or whatever. And that'll be seen as more important when actually it's not.
It's not. That's a good point.
Right. Let's park that for just now. I'm sure we'll have more chat on that in the coming weeks.
I can't wait to see the comments on YouTube and Twitter after that.
Yeah, totally. Right, let's finish off with the top six. So Hearts 3, Dundee 0.
Hey, on your feet. Go to a wide shot because I don't want a picture of my crotch on the telly. Got a white shot, producer John. Need to get on your feet for this.
Why do I need to get on my feet?
30 goals for Lawrence Shanklin.
Well, no, I can just do this.
No, I think you deserve to stand. Yeah, that as well. There's a wee football team that I mix its mark. They've won all the honours in footballing art. There's no other team to compare with a heart. Lawrence Shanklin. S-H-E-N-K Land.
So he scored again on Saturday against Dundee. Dundee are going to finish sixth unless they can beat Rangers, basically. Hearts can break 70 points if they win their last two games. And that would be 20 wins out of 36. Or it is 20 wins out of 36.
Phenomenal season.
So far this season.
We have improved...
I think Stephen Naismith has actually done a pretty decent job. However, we were in the studio, big Saturday football show on Saturday, and you said something that I think is going to become a theme next season.
What's that?
The football's rubbish.
Football isn't great.
Football's crap to watch.
Although, he went 4-2-3-1 at the weekend. Mm-hmm. We were very good.
Yeah, I don't deny
that. We
were
very good. Like, we played wingers as wingers. We didn't have wing backs. We had wingers. We had Barry Mackay on one side, Forrest on the other. We had Vargas supporting Shanklin, Beningame and Devlin in the middle of the park. We were outstanding at the weekend. We create so many chances. We look threatening. We had pace about us. Very good.
I hope that's
the sign of things to come.
I think if Hearts is somehow, like, if they win their last two games, which are obviously.
We've got Rangers at Tynecastle on Sunday.
And then
Saturday.
It's away to St Mirren on Wednesday.
Yes.
So if they win those two matches, then I think breaking 70 points would be an excellent achievement for Hearts, and it does show quite a lot of progress. But the football's boring. So elsewhere on Saturday, Kilmarnock clinching fourth place, 1-0 victory against St Mirren. So congratulations to Kilmarnock. They will be playing European football next season, and St Mirren probably will be as well, unless Dundee win their next two matches, which I don't think is going to happen. So St Mirren have only lost at home to Rangers, Celtic, Hearts and Kilmarnock, the four teams above them in the table. Kilmarnock have only lost 9 games all season, which is actually fewer than Hearts, but they've drawn quite a few games as well. So Kilmarnock,
is that a thing? Is that true?
Hearts have lost 10 matches, Kilmarnock have lost 9. Kilmarnock have drawn 13 and Hearts have only drawn 6.
That's really interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well done, Killy.
Yeah. I think still
finished fourth, so up yours.
55 points so far for Kilmarnock. They obviously finish up with Celtic on Wednesday night at home, and then they're away on the final day of the season on Saturday to Dundee. So, you know, you could be looking at, you know, either 58, 59 or 60, 62 points. So, 61 points, I should say. So, right. So congratulations to both Kilmarnock and St Mirren, who are going to be in Europe next season as well. Let's turn our attention to the bottom six. Start on Saturday. What went on at Ross County? An absolute thumping. 5-1 they lost. I should say, though, Simon Murray, 20th goal of the season for Ross County, so well done to him. However, it didn't really matter on Saturday because they were absolutely pumped. Motherwell.
Well, they conceded 3 goals in 10 minutes.
Yeah,
they at the end of the game.
Completely fell to bits. Now, the big one, like Motherwell are safe. They're probably just kicking themselves. They went on that long winless streak earlier on in the season. Otherwise, they definitely would have been in the top six. But anyway, they are safe. It's a battle between Aberdeen, Motherwell, Hibs for finishing in that sort of seventh spot, I guess. Ross County go to Perth on Wednesday night.
Huge.
St Johnston, who apparently played very, very well on Saturday for long spells.
Brilliant. They were very good.
Craig Levine said it was St Johnston's best performance of the season.
They were unreal.
And he couldn't explain how they got beat.
Yeah.
Nicky Clark missing a sitter as well, obviously. They had 25 shots on goal.
Stephen, their goalkeeper, the Livingston goalkeeper, had the game of his life.
So here's how it stands at this moment in time. So Ross County have got 33 points. St Johnston are on 31. So 2 points of difference. St Johnston obviously win
St Johnston will win on Wednesday after seeing them against Livingston. If they create even half the chances that they created the other night, they'll beat Ross County.
That would put them on 34. Ross County would be on 33. Ross County are home to Aberdeen on Sunday and St Johnston are away to Motherwell on Sunday.
So Ross County, so what's the goal difference?
St Johnston really need to win. There's only 3 goals in it. And obviously if
Three goals in whose favour?
St Johnston's favour. After that on Saturday, obviously, from Ross County.
Yeah. So, Blair Spittle, who Hearts have just signed, scored 2 goals. One of them was an absolute peach. If Messi scores that, then we're screaming about it.
Blair Spittle isn't Messi. We're not going down this Blair Spittle is Zico.
He's signing for Hearts.
Aye, but we're not going down the route we did with Alex Rowley. Alex Lowry, I should say, earlier on the season.
But Blair Spittle.
It turned out to be.
Well, Blair Spittle's Javi.
Cool. Massive game during the week between St Johnston and Ross County. Now, you're fancying St Johnston to stay up then, or just to win on Wednesday?
To win on Wednesday, and I think it's going to be the toss of a coin on Sunday.
Okay.
So I think St Johnston win because they were so good against Livingston.
Hibs. What are we going to do with Hibs?
Hibs that again.
4-0 they got beat at Easter Road yesterday from Aberdeen.
Four going on seven.
Clarkson, Povara, Mayovsky and Fletcher Boyd scoring his first senior goal. Great celebration from him. He's only 16 years old.
He didn't have much time to celebrate because Duke took a hold of him and body slammed him to the turf.
19 goals and 19 assists in the under-18s league this season from Fletcher Boyd. So he's obviously a bit of a player, this boy.
He's only 16.
And he's only 16. And actually, Aberdeen are 7 without defeat now and 6 clean sheets in that run as well. So Aberdeen are just showing off to their new manager, who will be coming in very soon.
When I was 16, I was sat in the back of a number 32 bus going from Tynecastle High School up to Longstone with a girl called Karen. That's what I was doing at the age of 16.
Did you play the Ouija board with her or make her levitate? No? Right. The past 2 or 3 weeks on the podcast, on the Big Saturday Football Show, I've been saying they need to give Nick Montgomery the summer. It's looking increasingly likely he's not going to even make the end of the season.
I told you at the weekend.
You had your sources.
I'm telling you right now, a decision has already been made. Montgomery will not be the Hibs manager for the start of 24-25 season.
Okay, right. If that does happen, A, who are they getting in? And B, Ben Kensel, the chief executive, this is now his third failed appointment as Hibs manager. Sean Maloney, Lee Johnson, Nick Montgomery, all brought in at great expense, by the way. Kensel is on a pretty penny, I would imagine, as CEO at Hibs.
Mm-hmm.
Surely he has to get binned as well.
You'd have to look at all of it on the way up, not just the manager, chief exec, chief operating officer, all of it. Every single one of them, director of football, look at all the whole lot of them.
Because I genuinely feel a wee bit sorry for Montgomery.
Okay.
I think he's got something.
He's not.
I think he's got something.
There's something though right there. And when it's all gone and it's not working and it's all going a bit pear-shaped. See, the players that are on his team, really good players. Why are they not playing? Why are they not playing?
Well,
why are they not playing? Ask that question.
I don't know. I don't have the answers.
McCondis is great. Maluda's great. Albita's been brilliant at left wing back. Martin Boyle. Why? They've got the boy, who they got from Dundee United, who I really like. The boy, is it Devlin? Not Devlin. Devitt? Not Devitt. That's a
Dylan Levitt.
Le- I was close.
Yeah, you were not far away.
So I think they've got a really good side there. The bases of a really good side. So something
I think
clearly
defensively isn't working. They've been
right, okay. We
really
know
poor.
That, Stephen. But I'm just saying generally they've got the bases of a really good side. You're trying to make a case for Nick Montgomery when there isn't. I think if I am Hibs, what you want is somebody who knows that league. You knock on the door at St Mirren and you knock on the door at Rugby Park and you've sound those two out and get them in there to sort it out. And then watch Hibs fly next year. They cannot go into the new season with him in charge. Robinson, two seasons in a row. That is unbelievable. He knows the league.
So
look at McInnes.
You think Robinson and McInnes are going to leave either St Mirren or Kilmarnock, who are in Europe next season, solid squads.
They won't get through the qualifiers.
To go to Hibs.
They won't get through the qualifiers. They've got like three rounds to get through to get into any sort of league, Europa League or Conference League. And Hibs are a far bigger club than Kilmarnock, a far bigger club than St Mirren. No disrespect to those two clubs, because I've got a lot of respect for them. I've got friends who work at both those clubs. But I think...
Is that your sources that I've been telling you about Nick Montgomery?
I think that what will happen if they get rid of Montgomery, which I think they will, they need to knock on the door of those two managers. And they would leave Kilmarnock and St Mirren to go to Easter Road. Why? Because Hibs are a bigger club and you've got a bigger opportunity to have success, because you've got good owners there who've got money as well. Stadium, training ground, Edinburgh. What's not to love?
Okay, well, we'll see what happens over the next couple of games. Hibs finish away at Livingston on Sunday. They're at home to Motherwell on Wednesday. Aberdeen at home to Livingston. And then, as I mentioned, they're away to Ross County.
Look at the apathy amongst the Hibs fans. That stadium was empty on Sunday.
I know.
Empty, mate.
The chief exec
sat there going, right, there's something fundamentally wrong here. The fans are turning away.
He should maybe have a wee look at himself.
Like that as well.
I think he's presided over a shit show over the last sort of 3 years and spent a lot of money.
Correct.
Bringing in not only Nick Montgomery, but Johnson and Sean Maloney, all the staff that they brought in as well.
Compensation.
I think a very big clear out, not just of the some of the players, but also of the backroom team as well, and heading further up the tree. So let's move on to the playoffs. Partick Thistle getting through against Airdrie just about on Friday night at Fir Hill. 25 goals this season for Brian Graham, and Partick Thistle will now face Raith Rovers at Fir Hill tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and then the second leg is Friday night at Starks. Who you fancy for that, Thistle or Raith Rovers?
I thought Partick were pish in both legs. I think they're lucky to find themselves in the final against Raith,
but they've got Brian Graham, who scores loads
irrelevant
of goals.
Irrelevant.
I don't think you can say someone who scored 25 goals this season is irrelevant.
I mean, irrelevant when it comes to playing Raith Rovers. Raith Rovers will go through that game over two legs comfortably.
Okay, the playoffs obviously concluded in the Championship in terms of the semi-finals anyway. Hamilton beating Alloa eventually, 3-2 on the day, 5-4 on aggregate. So they're through at the final to take on Inverness, who squeaked past Montrose 1-0 on the day and on aggregate. Producer John, you're obviously a League One expert. Falkirk have spent half a decade there. Hamilton versus Inverness, what are you thinking there?
I think Inverness were very lucky to get past Montrose. My mate's a Montrose supporter and said they definitely had an offside goal.
I did see, it was chopped
and the red
off.
Card was a bit dodgy. But, it pains me to say it, but Hamilton have actually been quite good this season. We've been brilliant. That's why they're in second, because Falkirk have been unbelievable. Hamilton are actually an all-right side. Tactically, sometimes John Rankin get it wrong, but I think he's probably got enough to get past Inverness, because Inverness are really struggling. Defensively, they're sound, but they are really, really struggling to get goals. And Billy Mackay's playing a lot deeper than he normally does.
I noticed that. He did score on Steve, Saturday.
Right. Listen to what you've just said. Inverness defensively are sound. One goal wins you a game. And they did that against Montrose. I think Inverness beat Hamilton over two legs, because defensively, they're a tough nut to crack. Yes, they struggle to score goals, but all they need is one to win the game. And I think over two legs, Inverness will maintain their position in the Championship.
I think Hamilton will give them a really decent game. I think it'll be tight.
Sorry, wait. I mean, we can all say that. And we can all sit on the fence and go, I think it'll be a really interesting game. And I think that Hamilton will give them a very good game.
I think Hamilton will put them out.
I think Hamilton will as well.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. I kind of wait to next week's show when I'm going to...
And the reason for that, I do think Inverness are pretty decent defensively, but if Hamilton score, then Inverness have got a problem. And I think Hamilton will score. Hamilton have scored a lot of goals this season, so I think they'll manage to squeeze a couple past Inverness, and I don't think Inverness have anything in reply much. First leg for that is Wednesday night, and then it's Saturday, I believe, for the second leg. I'm pretty sure of that. Elsewhere, playing League One football next season will not be Peterhead. They got absolutely pumped at home on Saturday by 5-1 from Spartans. It was Peterhead 2-7 on aggregate.
Jeez.
And Stirling Albion have been relegated from League One. They'll be playing League Two football next season. So it was just a one season wonder for them. And Dumbarton or Spartans will be playing in League One next season. Spartans obviously only came into the league this season as well. So what a season that would be, getting back-to-back promotions. So
I hope Spartans do it.
We'll see what happens there. They're obviously going to take place over the next wee while as well. So Spartans, Dumbarton. And then it was 2-2 between East Kilbride and Stranraer. Second leg this coming week at Stranraer Stair Park. Stranraer will fancy their chances of staying up this season. Although what I would say is watch this space, because there's problems with a certain team who should be playing League 2 football next season.
You talking about Bucky?
No, I'm not talking about Bucky. I'm talking about a team who have been relegated from League 1 that's not Stirling, and there's a few problems there. So I think there will be more to come of that over the next couple of weeks. I can't go into...
He's a wee tease, isn't he?
Too much detail.
I think we can all work out what side it is now, Stephen, from that clue.
I'll let you join the dots, but there's a few problems. And
I'm joining dots, crossing T's and dotting I's.
What I would say is I wouldn't be surprised if both East Kilbride and Stranraer are in the league next season.
Exclusive!
So, let's move on to some refereeing decisions, shall we?
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Right then, let's start with Celtic Rangers. Willie Collum on charge on the field. In charge, I should say, on the field. And Stephen McLean was the VAR. So, John Lundstrom's challenge on Johnson, initially given as a yellow card. It was then upgraded to a red card. Willie Collum went across, had a look at it, and he was sent off. We were watching it in the studio, and instantly I went, that's a red card. Not because, I don't think Lundstrom went in to get him, but as we've said a million times on this podcast, that doesn't matter. I think he was...
It was high.
Aggressive.
Yeah.
He was coming in at a fair amount of knots as well.
Yeah.
And where he caught him, I was like, that's just a red card.
Yes.
A red card. Now, Kenny Miller had a different opinion, and I'm sure you'll hear his opinion on Clyde One Super Scoreboard this week as well. He was on commentary for Sky Sports, and then I think he was on the BBC a wee bit later on as well, doing some stuff. And he doubled down on his opinion and said he thought that it wasn't a red card and that Johnson had planted his foot and then Lundstrom had come in or something like that.
He contradicted himself.
A few Rangers fans that are on my Facebook and on Twitter and stuff as well, they were like, it's a red card. Lundstrom's had a nightmare.
I think what happened, because we were watching the game in the studio, is that Kenny Miller made an instantaneous decision it wasn't a red card. And instead of backing down when he watched the replays, he decided to double down, triple down, quadruple down, and then what did you get for 5?
Quintuple.
That as well. And he stuck to it. He stuck to it on the BBC. He stuck to it in his Daily Record column as well. He's not budging.
Has he got any grounds for...
No. No, I mean, I love Kenny Miller, but you're making a fool of yourself, mate.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens. Clyde One Super Scoreboard will be interesting this week, I'm sure. We'll hear about that over the next couple of nights.
When we play a golf day with him and he finds out I've called him foolish and stupid, then that's going to be interesting. I might get a driver wrapped around my neck.
That'll be fun. Also, there was the penalty. So it was O'Reilly who went down.
Soft.
After Diomande.
Soft.
Caught him slightly. As soon as I saw it, I was like, that's really soft.
Soft. But what's your striker's name at Dunfermline?
Hmm?
What's your striker's name at Dunfermline you got from St Johnstone?
Chris Kane.
If he goes down in the box, you want the penalty, don't you?
Yeah, but I like as
if Shankly goes down the box, I want the penalty.
I thought Willie Collin was going to overturn it. And I thought
when he was sent to the monitor.
Yeah, because
okay, but
from certain angles.
He leaves his foot in, doesn't he, a wee bit?
Like, I think O'Reilly sort of leaves his foot hanging a wee bit. And yeah, Diomande does catch him, but...
But is he not about to strike the ball with his left foot? And that's why he's left in, because he's pulling his foot back to strike
it. I thought
it
was soft. I thought it was really soft.
Anyway, justice was done because Butland made the save.
It was... You know what? I don't think it was too dissimilar to the one that Silva got at Ibrox.
That was a clear penalty.
No, I thought...
It's a clear penalty.
I think the one on Saturday probably was a penalty, and I thought the one Silva...
There's no probables about the Silva penalty against Silva.
But I thought it was soft. There wasn't a lot of contact. There was contact, but there wasn't a lot, is what I'm saying.
He took his kneecap off.
No, he didn't. So Willie Collum stuck with his decision. Didn't matter in the end anyway, because O'Reilly missed it. Really poor penalty.
Yeah.
So that was that. No issues, St Mirren, Kilmarnock. Hearts, Dundee. Nick Walsh gives a penalty after the ball comes off Stephen Kingsley's arm, but it's overturned by VAR.
Well, it's not overturned by VAR. VAR saying, you need to go and have a look at that. And fair play to Nick Walsh, because he then reverses the decision.
Yeah, but VAR recommended a review.
Yeah, I know, so but fair play to the boy for reversing the decision, because that was very good, because his arm is clearly in and it strikes him on the arm when he's got his arm tucked in. So well done to Nick Walsh.
Okay, Livingston St Johnston, shout for a handball against Livingston's Nottingham, who had his hands by his side.
Yeah.
Right decision, wrong decision?
That's right.
Okay. Nothing doing in Ross County, Motherwell, and Hibs could barely care less yesterday, so we're not going to go into that as well. Right, let's stick something in the bin then, shall we, producer John?
Get ready to open the big Scottish football trash can. It's in the bin.
Our version of Scottish Football's Room 101. We suggest something that we want to be put in the bin. You decide whether it goes in or not. Last week we had listener John Smart who wanted to put ultras in the bin. Controversial, this one.
I think the Hearts ultras this season have been superb, just behind the goal at the Gorgie Road end. They've been brilliant.
Twitter feed and profile, which I've noticed over the last couple of weeks, Jambo Bear Ewan, they bring atmosphere to the ground. James says, boo, moan the ultras. Hey, RFC, what, and have zero atmosphere? No thanks.
What? They do bring an atmosphere.
No, but I think that's what he's saying. He's saying, get rid of them.
Oh, and then you have zero atmosphere. What's the name of the boys that do it at Rangers?
The Union Bears.
The Union Bears, and you got the Green Brigade, and you got the Hearts ultras, who are really, really good, as I just said. Is there any other ultras about? Is there any at Hibs?
Probably. Dunfermline have got the Northwest.
They're in the corner, aren't they?
Shout out to the Falkirk Ultras 76.
What happened in 76?
What do you mean, what happened in 76? That's when the club were formed, 1876.
Oh, 1876. I thought you meant 1976. So did I. Yeah. Right, okay. Drum roll, please. Producer John.
Oh, this will be interesting.
With 70% of the vote, ultras are not going in the bin.
Good result.
Not going in the bin.
Well done, Scottish football fans. The ultras are here to stay, and rightly so. They do add atmosphere and colour to proceedings at a football stadium.
Right, okay. John, do we have our caller lined up?
Have we got a caller?
We've got a caller. Well, here he is, here, yeah.
Who is it?
We're going to speak to Mikey.
Who's Mikey?
Mikey's got a nomination. I know Mikey. Mikey is from Dunfermline. Hello, Mikey. How are you doing? You all right, mate?
I'm doing well, Stephen. How are you?
I'm good, yeah, right.
Stephen, how are you? I'm here as well, you prick.
How are you doing, Ewan?
I'm all right, bud. How are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, doing well. Doing
right,
well.
Okay, so Scottish football in the bin. Mikey is up this week. And what is your nomination, Mr. Mikey?
Here we go. So footballers who cut holes all over their socks.
Oh,
right.
What a night. Why are we doing this?
Well, apparently, I saw an interview of... Saka.
Yes.
And it's about blood circulation. The socks are too tight.
And that's only become a thing this season, I presume.
Well, why don't they just make the socks a bit baggier then, instead of making them so tight? Because then it's causing a problem.
Because then they fall down.
It's about blood circulation, Mikey, and it causes tightness and possible cramp in their calf if the socks are too tight. So that's why they put holes in it.
I'm sure it does. The same thing would have happened to Kenny Dalglish and Jimmy Johnson and whoever else over the years. So
What I'm going to do, Ewan, is actually, I think I'm going to cut a hole in your hat because it's clearly cutting off the blood supply to your brain. So,
well, it's also one of those fads.
Yeah.
Very similar to the ones that went on, and I think it was in the early noughties, late 90s, when footballers would wear that piece of tape over their nose to make their nostrils wider to breathe. It turned out that doctors and scientists went, that doesn't make any difference whatsoever, and then they stopped wearing the tape.
Of course it doesn't. It's the same with the, like, rolling the socks over the knees, and, you know, I think it's just a fashion fad. So, Mikey, you want to put holes cutting socks in the Scottish football bin, yeah?
100%, and that, I'm sure I'm talking on behalf of kit men up and down the land.
Good point.
Aye, totally. He sat there over the weekend sewing the socks.
Yeah, exactly. Right, Mikey, thanks very much, mate. Chat to you soon, all right?
No worries. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, bud. Yeah. Cheers, Mikey. Right, that is next week's nomination. Holes in football socks. So you can get your shouts in, obviously, at Big Football Scott on Twitter, Instagram, and that is at Big Football Scott. You can also leave your comments on YouTube as well. We're always keen to hear your thoughts on what we've got to say and on this as well, obviously. And remember, as I mentioned a wee bit earlier on, Kenny Miller will be on Clyde One Super Scoreboard at some point this week. So it's worth tuning in for that every night across Glasgow and the West and beyond on your Amazon smart devices from 6 p.m. taking your calls with Gordon Duncan and the lads. And of course, we'll be back this Saturday with an early kickoff. We're on at 12 midday
Saturday.
Yes,
we're going to Newcastle for our boys' day. Did you get invited, John,
for our end of season day?
Do you know what? I didn't get invited.
You don't work on the Big Saturday Football Show though, John.
But I work on the Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Precisely. Well, do you want to come to Newcastle this weekend?
It's too late notice for the wife. We got a pass for that.
Which is why we're asking, because we know the answer.
Yeah. I'll give you all the good pubs to go to, though, boys.
Oh, yeah, you used to live in Newcastle, didn't you?
So I was suggesting we go to the Quayside in Newcastle, down by the water.
Nah, that's. I'll give you the offbeat trip.
No, wait, right. Hold on a wee second, right.
Ewan basically wants to go to
the
all
strippers.
No. Ewan wants to go to all the chain pubs. He wants to go to all the chain restaurants.
Yeah, not. Wait. I am at the point in my life right now where I can't be arsed with old man Jakey pubs, right? Can't be arsed with it. I want somewhere where I can actually have a conversation with my friends and be able to hear what they've got to say.
That's why you go to an old man Jakey pub.
No, I don't want to go to that. I want to go to somewhere by the quayside, outside. Do you know what I want? I want a heated lamp above me.
Pub I have for you, Ewan, and Stephen will enjoy this as well. It's called The Bridge. It's down beside the keep. You can sit outside in the beer garden. Lovely view across all the bridges.
Perfect.
In the town. Sound. And you know what the best bit is? Like at half time in the football, they bring out roast potatoes for you to eat. It's amazing.
That's weird.
That sounds perfect.
Do they offer blankets if it's a bit cold outside?
No, they don't do that.
Do they have a heated lamp?
They do have a heated lamp.
Well, that's fine. I can sit under a heated lamp in the sunshine.
There you go. The bridge. There you go.
The bridge. Okay. But we're going to Chaparai, aren't we?
Yeah.
Chapraia.
Yeah.
We're going to Chapraia, which is one of my favourite restaurants. It's a Thai restaurant, so we're going to go to that in Newcastle.
Basically, going to somewhere that Ewan's heard of. So that's fine. Thank you very much, John. I'll ask you for a full list. We will be on the Big Saturday Football Show on all the rest of the stations, apart from Clyde One.
Yeah.
Myself, Ewan Cameron, former Hibs.
Away
and
the lads.
Aberdeen striker, Steve Cowan. Right. I think it's time to call our favourite man.
Jose. Could have invited him in Newcastle. Jose. That would have been hilarious.
We can ask him.
That would be hysterical if he was to come with us.
We'll ask Jose if he wants to come.
Because we don't want John coming, but we'll get Jose.
Hello!
Jose!
How are Jose, you? Jose, I've got a question to ask you.
Yeah.
Right. What are you doing this Saturday?
This Saturday? Nothing. Just coaching and nothing.
Oh, so at 4:30...
Saturday, 4:30, yeah.
Myself and Stephen,
yeah.
Steve Cowan, former Hibs and Aberdeen striker, and our producer from the Big Saturday Football Show, are going to Newcastle for the night. Do you want to join us?
Holy moly. Jesus. When you come back, because I have my daughter.
We're coming back on Sunday morning. We're getting the train back up Sunday morning. You'll be in to Edinburgh lunchtime.
About 1 o'clock, yeah.
Oh, that's good, because No, because my daughter's communion Sunday. I think I can make that.
Jose.
Please come.
We'll have a big night out in Newcastle, Jose.
Come on, Jose. Come and join us for dinner. We'll go for a few pints. We're staying in a hotel. We'll come back up the road on the Sunday.
Holy moly. That's a good offer, by the way.
Right, well, I've got your number. I'll send you all the details after the podcast, and then please make it work. We'll meet you at Waverley in Edinburgh at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we'll all jump on the train, have a couple of drinks, have a bite to eat, get to the hotel, and then we'll go out for a meal at a nice restaurant.
Boy, fucking all
country. Have you been out in Newcastle before, Jose?
Yeah, I've been in Newcastle, yeah.
Right. Have you pulled in Newcastle before?
Oh. Listen, wherever I go, I'm a magnet to girls.
Right, okay, right, that's good, that's good. Okay. Right, Jose.
Sorted,
right, you can get the details for you and we'll hopefully see you at the weekend, Jose, okay?
No problem, lads. Oh, can't wait, man, I'm going to be steaming.
See you, Jose.
I'll text you later, my man.
Okay, well, man, no problem. Thank you.
Cheers,
see
bud. Bye, mate. Bye.
Bye, Jose. Right. I can't believe
we've got.
Oh, she's got an invite, and I haven't.
We just invited you.
And you said no. I've got to speak to the wife, and she wears the trousers, and I'm no doing it. What I'm going to say is this: we have now a wee problem here because Jose is now definitely coming. There's no doubt about it. He's going to make sure he's there. Who gets him in the room? Because we're doubling up.
You'll want him.
No,
you'll want Jose, or we put him in with Steve Cowan. I mean, they're two former football players. They're used to bunking together.
So there's you, me and Rory in the same room.
Jose won't need a room, trust me. He'll be back.
Exactly. He might find his own room with some
I'm sure. We'll leave that with Jose. He'll get his own room. It'll be totally
because we'll need to phone ahead and get him to put a camp bed in because I'm not sharing a single bed with Jose Katongo.
Why not?
Because, well, somebody else will be another single bed. We're sharing. We're doubling up. So there's either you and me or me and Rory or me and Steve Cowan. Yeah. So we're going to have to get a camp bed or something for Jose.
Jose will be fine. Jose will be out until the wee small hours, I'm sure.
Well, we're tucked up in bed.
Precisely. Right, give me the piano, please.
Jose. The stories on Monday for the podcast are going to be epic.
Right, what is the connection between Father Dougal Maguire and Hibs, Hamilton, Dundee and Dunfermline? It's time for Scottish football's greater, more solid, hardest, harder question. And, joke said, is it Ireland? All those clubs were formed to connect Irish immigrants in the sea, in the area. And Martino Bear says, is it Guadeloupe? Guadeloupe. Father Dougal, actor Ardilo Hanlon, played Jack Mooney in Death in Paradise, which is filmed in Guadeloupe. Michael Antoine Coury played for all four of those teams and is a Guadeloupe international. And one of those answers is correct. So you and Cameron, you can do the honours. That is signed and sealed. It has been since what date? The 15th or something?
The 15th of April signed and sealed.
So just coming up a month. And to be fair, those answers were from last week, but I didn't have it with me. So you and Cameron will reveal all.
Okay. So the question... what connects Hamilton, Dunfermline, Dundee, Hibs and Father Dougal Maguire? The answer is... yes, one of the answers you've given us.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is... Michael Antoine Courier, a Guadeloupe internationalist.
Mm-hmm.
Ardilo Hanlon appeared on Death in Paradise... filmed in Guadeloupe.
There you go.
Who's
well
that?
Done, Martino Bear. Martino Bear.
That is... how did you get that? That's phenomenal research.
Do you know how I got that?
It's brilliant.
I sat in New York Airport waiting for my flight because it was delayed by several hours and I thought I would make something.
But you also did some research then.
Yeah, of course.
Was there like a flight for Guadeloupe going out of New York, Stephen?
Is that what inspired it?
Nah, no, I don't know. I think I read something about Death
Paradise. Oh, here we go again. I read something.
Do you know what, though? I've got a fact about Death Paradise. You know how the actors changed so much because it's Martin Clunes and it was Ralph Whittle and it was Ardilo Hanlon. It's because no one can handle living in Guadeloupe because they have to go and live in Guadeloupe
for
6 months at a time.
Yeah.
And none of the actors, like, that's why they have to keep changing the main character because... it's a long, long shoot. So, like, that's why everyone's like, I have a couple of seasons, I'm done.
6 months, they're based out in Guadeloupe. And obviously, if you've got, like, a wife and kids,
yes,
they might not want to move to Guadeloupe, you've which is a wee, it's a wee sort of former French island in the in the
looks
Caribbean.
Lovely, though, that island.
I'm sure it will be. Right, time for the quiz, then.
Oh! I need to go and change.
You go and do that. I'll explain what's happening.
I'm going to put my baby Yoda costume on.
Right, okay. So it's the shootout quiz. It's 5 questions each. And this week, you and Cameron is going to be...
Star Wars.
Star Wars. And I'm going to be Dunfermline, apparently. So, right. So
did
since
you know,
the,
did you know you were getting Dunfermline questions?
No, I didn't. So since the split, it's 3-0 to me. You and you don't need to take your trousers off. I've said this so many times.
For my onesie.
Ewan, you don't need to take your pants off either. Jeez. No, put your pants back up. You're coming back on camera. Put your trousers back up as well. Right. Okay, right. Thank God for that. Right. In you come. Top bin card as well. Obviously, we'd make it harder.
There we go.
That's minging. That's got stuff all over it.
What do you mean?
It's got, like, food on it.
That's melty chocolate from the other night.
That's gross.
See that bit there? That's melty chocolate.
Right, John. Take it away.
Wait, I'm not ready. I've not got my headphones on. Celebrating Star Wars, May the 4th be with you from last weekend that we didn't get to do.
Are we flipping the coin to see who goes first?
Cute, isn't it? Aye, let's flip the coin. Right.
Ewan, by the way, do you keep stealing the 50p coin? Because we had a situation on Super Scoreboard a couple of weeks ago when the 50p coin went missing and it was after the podcast.
I used it to get air in my car.
I know, but
you can't steal the Super Scoreboard coin, Ewan.
I know, it's only 50p, you tight.
Aye, but then when it's 7 o'clock, we're flipping the coin from Beat the Pundit.
Just do rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Do rock, paper, scissors, that's fine.
Yeah, just do rock, paper, scissors,
right, okay,
that's
okay, anyway, flip
right,
the coin, who's going
you call it, heads or tails?
Where's my eyes?
Heads or tails?
Tails.
It's heads, I'll go first.
You want to go first? Alright, Stephen, here we go.
Right, let's do this.
Right, we've got top bin questions, and your specialist subjects are Star Wars for Ewan, as represented by his baby Yoda costume, and for Stephen, it is Dunfermline Athletic. So your first question, Stephen, should get this one fairly easy. Which player is the club's biggest transfer out?
Jeez-o.
What do you mean, Jeez-o? Who do you think it is?
No, but for someone who supports the club, I would have told you it was Craig Gordon because of Hearts.
No, but he it's Dunfermline question.
But that's what I'm saying. If you know your club, you know your club.
I'm pretty sure it's Jackie McNamara.
Oh, Jackie McNamara. Of course it is.
Jackie McNamara, final answer.
Yep. I think it's like 650,000.
It was 650,000.
Did anyone ask you? Did anyone ask you how much it was?
Right, Ewan, your question. Star Wars based. What is the name of Boba Fett's ship? Oh my god, Ewan, this is like Star Wars 101.
We need timer.
Oh yeah, that's what we do.
I watched the Boba Fett TV show on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I had the Boba Fett ship as a kid.
Uh-huh.
I watched on The Mandalorian.
I genuinely can't even help you here because
I don't need your help!
Because Star Wars is, in fact, shite.
That's nonsense, Stephen. Take that back. Have you? You must have watched Star Wars.
I think I've seen one of the films.
Really?
Yep.
Empire Strikes Back is the best film ever made.
I think it is.
Ewan, come on, don't fail me.
It's a very long minute you're getting here, by the way.
Mate, I genuinely mean this. I am struggling here. The pressure's on me already.
Right, Ewan, need an answer.
Yeah.
Come on, Ewan. Come on.
I don't know.
Just say anything.
Shut up.
Right, time's up. Time's up. No answer. No points. Right, you're not saying anything?
No, I just told you.
Right, okay.
I'm going to greet.
So, you don't know the answer?
Well, clearly not, because I'm not fucking giving you an answer. Just give me it.
Your powers are weak, old man.
Oh, piss off. Piss off with your sound effects.
Slave one.
Slave one.
You knew it, don't you? You know it now.
Right.
You know it now. Right, okay.
I'm going to greet.
Right, Stephen, Dunfermline question.
And if you play that old man clip again, I'll be pissed off.
That made me laugh. That was good. I like that.
How many goals has Craig Whiting scored this season?
I think he's our top goal scorer. But
Just playing again. You know the answer.
I don't know the answer, and it's not a lot. It's like seven.
No, it's not a lot. Well, clearly then, if you think it's not a lot, then you probably know the answer.
Final answer. Six.
Six?
Six, final answer.
That pisses your striker if that's all you got.
He's been out injured for ages.
Honest to God.
I was between six or seven there. I knew
that your top scorer's got seven goals for the season, by the way. How shit have Fenway?
It's terrible.
Yeah. Right. Right, Ewan, back to Star Wars. Who played the Emperor in Return of the Jedi? What is the name of the actor who played the Emperor?
Timer, please. You're meant to be a Star Wars expert.
Oh, my God, Ewan.
I've got the second name. That's enough, isn't it?
No.
It is.
No, it's not.
Because if I say to you, Dalgleish, I don't need to give you Kenny. It's the same in all your quizzes.
No.
Oh, Ian McDermott.
Ian McDermott, final answer.
2-1.
That is correct.
Get in.
Ian McDermott is the Emperor. In fact, he was the Emperor in all the films, but just to Return of the Jedi.
I wish he hadn't turned up though for the Skywalker one at the end of the ninth
one. I know.
It ruined the canon.
Yeah. Stephen,
don't know what you're talking about.
Who is Dunfermline's biggest league win against? What team did Dunfermline have their biggest league win against?
Morton.
Oh, for fuck. I mean,
do you mean this season, eh?
No, of all time.
Oh, of all time. All right, Christ.
You should take his first answer.
No, that's not how it works. Ugh, honestly, I've got no idea.
Bon Accord.
No, that was...
It's always the answer, isn't it?
That was all gross. League win. It'll be somebody shite like Falkirk.
Do you know that chocolate I've spilt in my top?
You look like an absolute state.
That's from a Magnum ice cream.
I like a Magnum.
Yeah.
Was it just a plain Magnum?
Yeah, I was just nibbling around the chocolate bits and it kept falling on.
I honestly have got no idea, so I'm just going to have to say, like, East Fife.
East Fife, final answer.
Get in!
Right, chance to go 2-2. Chance to go 2-2. Bring it on.
What's the answer?
It was Stenishmuir. You beat them 11-2 in 1930.
Oh, I was going to say Stenishmuir.
There you go.
Oh, shut up.
Right, Ewan.
Yeah, go on.
In Star Wars A New Hope,
yeah,
what planet does Leia say the rebel base is on before the Death Star destroys Alderaan? In A New Hope, what planet does Leia say that the rebel base is on before the Death Star destroys Alderaan?
Well, when she stood there with Darth Vader
and Grand Moff Tarkin.
Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah, and she's
and she's having a conversation, and she tries to steer them away from Alderaan and all that
and
stuff.
And she gives the name of the planet, but yet they destroy.
It's not
Alderaan
Tatooine,
anyway.
That's for sure. It is. He goes, something system. We'll get to there at some point.
Yeah.
Bloody, bloody, bloody,
blah.
Blah,
blah.
It's too far away, but we'll get to that planet very soon, Princess. And then he goes and blows up Alderaan.
Yeah. Can you remember the name of the planet, though?
I've got no idea about any of those words that you just said there.
Ewan.
Mate, I can't believe this.
Ewan.
So you tell me I'm...
You're meant to be a Star Wars expert.
Ewan, you're letting me down here.
I'm letting myself down, mate.
Ewan. Time's up.
I don't know.
You don't know.
It's something in the something system, and he was like, I'll get there later, but I'll deal with your rebel friends sooner, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But let's have a look at the power of this thing and use it as an example. We'll blow up Alderaan.
Okay, so that's another non-answer.
You are not a Jedi yet.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not. It was Dantooine.
Dantooine.
But the actual base was on Yavin, so Leia even played them even when her planet was about to be destroyed.
If I'd said Dantooine, it would have been the right answer.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay.
2-1, question 2-4.
Right, Stephen, back to you. How many times have Dunfermline won the championship stroke first division?
Mm.
Oh, I think Dunfermline have only won A-League about seven times or something, so...
Come on, Mr. Expert, do your thing.
Well, twice in... No, that's... No. Jim McIntyre. Jim McIntyre, Bert Payton. I think Leash won it once. Probably won it one other time. I'll go four.
Four, final answer.
Yeah. Do you have the years there, John?
I don't have the years there.
You don't have the years. I can tell you the last one was 2010-11 under Jim McIntyre.
3-1.
3-1. You need this, Ewan.
I know.
You need this.
I know.
To take it to...
No, but then I do have a...
Oh, yeah, I've got a top bin.
You have got a
top bin. But I'll take this one.
Yeah, okay, no problem, mate. Who is the leader of the Rebel Alliance? Who is the leader of the Rebel Alliance?
What are you looking at me for?
Who is the leader of the Rebel Alliance? Yes. As in, who leads the rebels?
Yes, there was a whole series on Disney Plus.
Right, John. These are meant to be his expert subjects.
These are meant to be.
Please do not.
The actual leader of the Rebel Alliance.
Yes, the leader of the Rebel Alliance.
It's not Ashoka.
No!
No, that's what I'm saying, but what you're saying is a whole
series. It's not an Indian restaurant in Glasgow, no.
Was it Mr. Singh's?
Who was the leader of the Rebel Alliance?
Yes, she makes an appearance.
Balbiers, I think it was.
In
yeah.
one of the films.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and yeah.
Chaku?
That's actually that's a thing in Star Wars.
Chaku.
Ewan, you need Ewan. This, otherwise, Steven's going to win. On. Ewan. Ewan! I'm so disappointed.
Who's the leader in the Rebel Alliance?
Your power's a weak old man.
Stop it with that pish!
That's my favourite one. For the last time. I've heard of that one before.
Go on, what is it?
Mon Mothma.
So it is. She stands there in front of the...
Return of the Jedi, she turns up.
And she points at the Rebel base on the Rebel moon.
No, it's not yet.
He needs
to get the fifth one right.
Oh, so he does,
And if he gets this wrong, then I'm going to have to go top bin to draw it.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. Right, okay, Stephen, back in the game. Who took the captain's armband after Scott Wilson? Who took the Dunfermline armband after Scott Wilson?
Just get it wrong for a laugh. Just extend it a wee bit. Give me a wee bit of hope and a wee bit of a chance.
I don't actually know.
Because if you get it right, the Kylo Ren mask is going back on. Yeah. And you're going to feel the wrath of my force.
I genuinely don't. I think Scott Wilson was there until like 2008, 2009.
Oh, Stephen,
like
you keep
that.
Doing this, but you know what the answer is. Either put me in my misery or have a bit of fun and let me get my top bin question.
It's either Greg Shields or Austin McCann.
It'll pick the wrong one.
I genuinely but I think Greg Shields might have left at the same time, so I'll go Austin McCann.
Austin McCann, final answer?
Yep.
And Marshall is saved! I'm in it! Yes!
It was neither.
Marshall!
It was Stephen Glass.
Oh.
He had it for one season.
Get
in! Vice captain when Scott Wilson was.
Get in! Top bin.
That was a shit season.
Go in.
Come on. Top bin to get it to 3-3, and then we'll go to a sudden death tiebreak. Go.
Ewan.
Yeah.
What is the name
of
Jabba the Hutt's pet? What is the name of Jabba the Hutt's pet? You know the little...
It begins with S, and it sits on his tail.
Yeah.
And he ends up on the ceiling.
Uh-huh.
Right, John.
It begins with an S. It begins with an S. It is. Oh, for. Begins with an S. It begins with an S. It begins with an S. Not scavenger, what is it? What is it?
Skrillex.
Ski electric.
No.
Ski Sunday.
Oh, it's scavenger. the scavenger.
Ewan, you're running out of time.
It says K.
You're running out of time.
I'm going to say scavenger final answer.
Scavenger final answer. So if scavenger is the name of Jabba the Hutt's pet, you will go to another question.
Yeah.
However,
your power's a weak old man.
Celius Crumb. Celius Crumb is coming. Celius Crumb, you know that now, Ewan, don't you?
Since the grand reset of the shootout quiz that Ewan insisted upon, he has not only tried to pick subjects that are suited to him, his specialist subjects, you could say.
It's not a specialist subject.
And he has failed to win
any of these
quizzes.
Hold on. My specialist subject isn't Star Wars.
What would it be?
Baywatch.
But no, it wouldn't be Baywatch.
Baywatch.
No chance. You're just naming TV shows now. I've won again. 4-0 since the reset. 55-0 or whatever it is. And the whole time, Ewan, please put your trousers on. You don't need to take your trousers off for that. Right, play the music, John. This has been the Big Scottish Football Podcast. That has been Ewan Cameron with his carrier bag this week.
Like I've got my wee carrier bag with me with my star.
Like one of the Jakes you see at a bus station.
look at the
looking
chocolate.
Looking like that. Look at the state of that. Honestly, the absolute state of that. Thank you for listening this week. Get all your comments in for Scottish Football in the Bin. Thanks to Mikey for coming on and giving us a suggestion this week, which is cutting holes in socks. What are they doing, footballers? We'll get the results of that next week. And of course, this time next week, it will be the final, after the final league games of the season. So we'll chat about that and everything else.
And also Newcastle!
And Newcastle with Jose! So we'll see what happens. We'll catch you next time on the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Cheerio, bye for now!